Welcome to the Awakening Conversations podcast, where we dive into the many aspects, challenges, and life-changing lessons that are part of our spiritual awakenings. Through conversations, we are looking to bring you wisdom and perspectives so that you feel more supported and connected as you navigate your own awakening path. We are your hosts, Kate McGee and Amanda Richardson-Meyer. We've both been through our own unique awakening journeys that have changed and transformed our lives. And through these awakening conversations, we will be growing and expanding alongside you. We're so glad to have you join us. Let's dive in. In this conversation, we are exploring intuition, something we've spoken to and about in multiple episodes thus far. We're going to be sharing each of our journeys in learning to listen to and trust the messages that we've received. We touch upon how our intuitive guidance has shaped our lives in both big and small ways, and how we can each receive this guidance. The conversation delves into exploration of intuition, empathic abilities, and the development of discernment. It highlights the challenges of recognizing and trusting intuitive abilities, the impact of trauma on intuition, and the importance of setting boundaries. The discussion also emphasizes the role of belief, practice, and following intuitive nudges in developing and harnessing intuitive abilities. Let's get into the episode.
Welcome back to the Awakening Conversations podcast. My name is Kate. I'm here with my co-host, Amanda. And today we're going to be talking about intuition and discernment. We're going to share our stories with these qualities within our life, how we've come to develop them and really trust them as a guiding force that helps us feel really confident in our choices, in our path through life. So Amanda, great to see you today.
Yeah, good to be here as well. I'm excited to dive in on this topic. It's a good one.
Yeah. And so we've decided to bring this forward today because there have been quite a few episodes that we've done so far where we've alluded to this thing called intuition and discernment and how it is really important quality to cultivate. And I think most importantly, something that we have available to us to be trusting in. So first and foremost, we'd like to start with just sharing our own stories about how we've come to really know that we're intuitive, because I know that Amanda has said a few times that it's been her journey through life to this point, or not to this point, but earlier prior to her awakening, feel as though she wasn't intuitive, and how that unfolded for you. And then Amanda, maybe you can go first and then I'll share how I came to be aware of this intuitive voice that I really have present within me. So if you'd like to go first.
Yeah. So like you said, it wasn't until probably 2018 with my mom, what came soon thereafter, did I start to be curious about intuition. I think I just learned to not, or I didn't associate anything that was coming in with any sort of intuitiveness. Like I thought people that were spiritual or had special gifts were like, they were born with it. They were born that way. It's not something that develops over time. Looking back, I can see that I always was intuitive. I just didn't realize that I was. I didn't recognize that the information that I was receiving was some form of intuition, although I can pinpoint experiences where I very clearly listened to my intuition and it helped me. I would say that a big, back to about the story with my mom and her illness, that was a big experience of intuition for me. She developed symptoms, and deep in my gut, I knew that there was something wrong. I thought it was, just my medical experience, me going to the worst case scenario. And so my mind tried to convince me that it wasn't. And I also didn't want to be the person that put that idea in her head that she might have cancer. But immediately there was something in me that knew. And I think I tried to avoid even being aware that she wasn't sick because I didn't want to go there at that time. I was in a bit of denial. So then looking back in retrospect, when she actually really, we found out it was cancer. And then everything that followed, it was like my intuition about her situation was correct. And so this like opened a door for me to start to, I don't even think I was consciously aware of it, but it was like this progression of beginning to see that there's this intuition happening. It wasn't until I started working with a mentor who started reflecting back to me that there are these experiences that that's my intuition. And did I start to work, begin to, it was like a progression over time where I received some information, maybe I acted on it, it turned out to be correct. And then that strengthened that sensing, that knowing that, oh, when that happens, that's my intuition. So certain things like, well, really, I think the whole journey of leaving the United States was this big initiation in trying to test my receive intuition, test it, and then trust it. And then when having those experiences, it developed my trust and faith strengthened. And so it's like this muscle that strengthened and grew over time. I can remember when I felt like I kept receiving this, or I kept hearing about plant medicine, specifically ayahuasca. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know really what it really was, but I kept hearing it. And there was something that I was curious about, even though I knew nothing about it. I found myself, I think I was, it was my 39th birthday. Let's see, no, 38th birthday. I found myself at my first plant medicine experience. And it was like with people I didn't know, my mind was still in the programming of like, this is like a drug. This was an ayahuasca. This was a different plant medicine. And I found myself wondering, like, I'm doing everything like the rules tell me not to do, but I feel very strongly that I was guided here and I was supposed to be here. Mm. That was like an experience that showed me how far my intuition had come over, like, probably, man, there's so much noise here right now.
Yeah.
Mexico. Probably, yeah, this is Mexico for you. Over probably a year and a half, 2 years, it showed me that I trusted my intuition enough to do something that, like, on paper seemed really risk going and doing drugs. We'll just say that. I don't call them drugs, but you know, to yes. People that they consider those drugs, right? I felt completely guided and supported, and it's just been this ongoing unraveling over time where I'm continuing to receive information and then act on it and then see what happens. I'll just say that synchronicity is been a big one for me in terms of having a lot of occurring a lot in my life, and I've had a lot of stories of synchronicity, and we can talk more about that in as we dive into like what are the different types of ways that we can experience intuition, because I have other ways as well that I think are strong for me, and I'm curious. Are you, Kate, as well? Like, what are the ways that you receive information? But before we go there, I would love to hear your journey with your own intuition and what that looks like for you.
Yeah. So when I reflected on this, one of the earliest moments for me where I even understood that there is this other part of me, a more intuitive voice. When I was 20, I went to Canada. I bought a one-way ticket and went to see a friend of mine. And I was like, I'm going to get a work visa and live in Canada. And so about a week after we arrived, we went to Burning Man. And when I was at Burning Man, I met a boy from America. We kept in touch for a year. And then when my visa was wrapping up, he's like, oh, you should come visit me in Boston. I'm like, okay. So off I went to Boston. And then subsequently, he turned out to be my first love. So I had 3 months there with him. It was actually at a time where right before I left, it was September 11. So it kind of got a bit crazy there. And we were like in Boston and I'd run out of money. My parents hadn't seen me in a year. My dad was like, you know, I haven't seen you. What are you doing? And then, you know, of course, this thing happens in the US. So he's like, you should come home. And so I was like, okay, you know, I can't really afford to continue doing what I want to do. So all right, I'll come home. But what my boyfriend said was like, you know, I want to marry you. And I'm like, oh, that's, you know, this is a challenge because here I am in that first love where it's just like, it's the world to you or whatever, you know, what are the experiences intense. But I came home and it's like, well, I had this battle between my head and my heart because I didn't want to get married to find out if I wanted to be married. It wasn't enough time there spent in that. But then my heart was just so in love that it was just like, you know, I went back and forth. And, you know, logically my brain's like, yeah, but, you know, you now want to study to be a radiographer. If you do that in the US, those qualifications won't be any good in Australia. So you should do it here. And so it just was this battle. And I kept myself up at nights with this battle. And at one point I just was like, you know, what am I supposed to do? And I think when we ask a really, really deep question, we really, really want to know, I could sense there was this other part of me that was kind of like it was just waiting in the background, silently, patiently watching this like tennis match between my head and my heart. It was my intuitive voice. And so when I really turned to it, it just was this calm, grounded, wise. It's you stay here and you study. Or I can't exactly remember what the word was, but it was like, no, you don't get married. And I was like, I can remember then like having that knowing, but then of course heart goes, oh, but I don't want that. And the head's like, blah. So eventually it really just got to this point where I was like, wow, this one feels different. There's something about this. And the fact that it's not like yelling at me, there was a felt sense, this is what I have to listen to. And so not an easy decision to make because we'd even filed for a de facto visa for me to go back and it was approved. And then I was like, oh, I'm not coming back. So that was one of my first experiences with it. And it was really intriguing because I was like, wow, what was that voice? And I think I had to sort of sit and think about that's something else. That feels like something I'd like to hear more of. And then I don't really think that I sort of tapped into much of that then, but maybe it was speaking to me, but I had a very, very loud mind when I was younger. Not so kind, it was quite negative and, you know, so it was pretty noisy in there. I'm sure my intuition was talking to me through a lot of other experiences in my life. But then I also thought back to a time when I was again living abroad. And this time I was probably about 27, 28. And we lived in Dubai. And we used to go back to Australia for Christmas because it was, you know, go back for Christmas. And I can remember one January thinking, for the Christmas coming up, this is the last time you're going to see your grandmother. You have to go back. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. But I just had this knowing for a full year. This was the last time I was going to see her. So I made sure that we booked the tickets and I was like, oh, I'm just going to trust that. Then when we went back for Christmas, you know, we have a big family and so everyone sits outside because it's summer. We're outside and Nan was inside because it was a bit too hot for her. And I was coming inside to get drinks for everybody. And I was about to head back out with these drinks. I was opening the door and this loud voice in my head was, don't go outside. Don't go back out there and join the conversation. You have to spend time with your grandmother right now because this is the last conversation you're going to have with her. I was just like, it was so loud. And that there was that moment of like wanting to just brush it. But I took the drinks outside and I went back and sat on the couch with my grandmother. And I just was like, I'm going to be as present as I can with her right now and just ask her questions. And my nan had this beautiful laugh. And I just was like, I made her laugh and listen to her story, ask her random questions about her life. She probably was like, why are you asking me this now? But I was like, please, what do I want to know in this moment? And I'm glad I listened because in the February, she took a turn and she passed away. So I was just like, wow, like I knew that was going to happen. And then another example, but a time I didn't listen, and this is a random one, was when we lived in Hungary and Ricky and I had gone out for lunch. And it was one of these places where you go up to the counter, you order your food, they cook it, you grab it, and then you go and find a table. This was a two-story restaurant and there were no tables downstairs. Now Ricky's over waiting for the food and I get this voice in my head, he's going to trip up the stairs and drop the food. And I'm like, oh, that's a random thought. And I brushed it. And then it said it again. He's going to trip over and drop the food. And I was like, that's louder. And I totally was like, this is insane. Like, I'm not going to say to Ricky, be careful when you walk up the stairs. Sure enough, he comes with the two plates of pasta. We go upstairs and he trips on the stairs and he drops all the food. And I was just like, what the hell was that? Like, was I supposed to say something to him? But it was really odd. I was like, okay, there was this voice in me that sometimes speaks really loudly. And so there's a couple of my examples. And then one other thing I want to say in terms of intuition, that is something where I actively engaged with learning about intuition and intuitive abilities was 2020, I think it was, when I learned to read the Akashic Records. Now, that is something where we use our clair senses, so intuitive abilities that we can develop. And I remember when I was interested in taking this course, I said to the woman facilitating it, don't I need to have these already, these abilities to have some sort of, to be intuitive? She said, well, you are, but you just don't know it yet. And so in our very first practice of having to read these records, I just was like, okay, let's see what happens. And what I realized was, for me, I see things. It was like trying to see things through molasses at the time. It was super hard and I got hot and sweaty. But then I was like, oh, there are other ways that I receive intuitive information. And so then through the practice of that, I was able to refine that ability and that skill. And through the practice of it, realizes other ways that I also receive information, which we can get into, as we said. But just wanted to note that because it is literally something, as you've also alluded to as well, work on developing and cultivating and turn up the volume and turn up our ability to see and sense and receive and be guided in those ways.
I love your stories that you shared. And those are really, like, it shows that our intuition can guide us in really big ways and then also more subtle, like,
maybe
it would have been nice if Ricky didn't spill the food, but, you know, life goes on even though that happened. But I think it comes in all different ways and it can have a sense of humor, right? Like, I find that too. Maybe I'll tell a story that just popped in my head about this. Okay, so we were in Costa Rica. It felt like we had been there for a long time, but we'd only been there for like a couple months. I had ordered my first Oracle card decks. And I ordered like six of them because in Costa Rica, the import tax is crazy. So I'm like, oh, I'm going to have something ship, and like, and the shipping taxes or shipping charge is really crazy. So I just like, I'm going to do a whole bunch at once. It was like the day after I got these decks, and I think there was a dragonfly on the front of one of them. We were in Costa Rica. We were living on this regenerative agriculture farm, and I'd always take my blanket outside and I would sit out there and meditate. And so I went and I sat out there, and this dragonfly came up and it was like doing this dance around my blanket, like in a circle, like around me. And it was like scooting its butt towards me. I'm like looking at it. I'm like, what is this dragonfly doing? And I'm like, John, do you see this dragonfly? Like it won't leave. And it just like kept doing this dance around me. Remembered about this deck. So I went and grabbed it, and the dragonfly is still around my blanket. And I start shuffling it. A card comes out, and it was the winter solstice. The night before, I had come across this yoga retreat that was happening over the winter solstice. It had caught my eye. I started like reading all about it, and I just felt like I had to go when I read it. But then I drew that card, right? And then I read it, and then I got this sense to draw another card. And I drew the dragonfly card, and then the dragonfly left.
Wow.
I got the message that like, I need to figure a way to go to this yoga retreat. And then going there, like opened all these, you know, it's like a cascade, like that led to other things and meeting people and connecting with, you know, having some really cool insights. So it can come in like voices, it can come in other messages and signs, right? Like beyond just a voice, right? It can come from another person. What are some other ways that you can think of that we can receive messages and guidance?
Yeah. I mean, I really love your examples because you've got a lot, so many where it's like life talking to you. I have another friend who's exactly the same. And it's like, she'll think something or she'll be like, why is this happening to me? And then all of a sudden life gives her this like, this is why. And she's like, oh, okay. And she can just follow these signs, you know, it's like, is that intuition or is just like, you know, we're interacting with why or this bigger force that is our intuition that's talking to us. So yeah, those beautiful signs of life. And it made me think of, and I've always been kind of like on the fence about this, but like repeating numbers. Now, I have played with this because I'm like, at first I was just like, no, that's just coincidence, it's coincidence, coincidence. But I now literally play a game, and this might sound cray cray, but I play a game and I'll be like, okay, we're driving around and I see three sevens. And I'm like, okay, interesting. And then I drive around a bit more and I see another three. And I'm like, okay. And then I say, all right, you know, I'm 15 minutes from home. If this is really like a sign, show me three more. And I swear, right before I get home or somewhere, there's another three. And that's like, all right, you know, there's something that I've done with that, starting to play with it and like even ask for it, because there is this interaction in a weird way with this. And that one for me, even in me saying it, I feel a bit crazy saying it, but I've been playing with it. And I suggest play with it too, because we can play with these things, right? What the message is, I don't know. There are, of course, people have interpreted what the numbers mean. Take those or leave those. Take what resonates, leave the rest. But in some ways, there's some sort of, for me, it just feels like there's a confirmation of things. Maybe I think about what was I thinking in the time that I first saw that, or what's this bigger question I'm asking? Maybe there's just these kind of like lights going off of like a confirmation. Really allow yourself to play with what does it mean for you, right? I think there's, you know, we're the ones that know what we're thinking and asking and seeking guidance on. So there's things like that. Like we said, there's the voice. I say too, it's that knowing. You mentioned that before, even like with your mom, that inner knowing. And I would take that even further to say that there's sort of several ways we can experience that inner knowing. It can be simply that we know something's going to happen. So there's, I think that's referred to as claircognizance. We have this knowledge or something that something's going to happen. Yeah. And then also I'll say too, a knowing in that this feels right for me or this feels wrong for me, you know, an experience perhaps where this is a choice I want to make or this is aligned. There might be this feeling of like expansive energy in our body or, you know, an uplifting feeling or a wanting to draw something in like in an energetic way, viscerally within our physical body. There's this intuitive yes in some ways. Much like there's an intuitive no, where it might feel more contractive. We might want to draw away from something. It doesn't feel good in our system if we think about, you know, the having or the achieving or the doing of something. So in subtle ways, intuitively, where, you know, our body is giving us those signals.
I think that's like, would be more clairsentient. So the feeling,
yeah,
right? Mm-hmm. And so I guess yeah, we could go over the clairs, right? So there's the claircognizance, yeah, the clairaudience, which is the hearing. There's the clairvoyance, which is the seeing. Clairsentience, which is the feeling. And then I think there are people like that taste and smell, mm-hmm, right? Like they mm-hmm intuit mm-hmm that way. I don't know the names of those, but I think that, like, I think any of the senses, right, we can receive information. Yeah, I would say for me, I have trouble seeing. I don't tend to see. I tend to know, so claircognizance, and I say clairsentience. Those are my two strongest, with probably clairaudience, I would say, next. But I'd say and I think that's why it was hard for me to recognize that I was intuitive, because I didn't recognize my just ability to know something as, yeah, so I think I would receive information or I would receive a knowing, and because I couldn't really back it up usually, like mm-hmm, I think learning that we need to cite our sources, that we need to have some sort of evidence to explain how we know something, it caused me to underestimate or doubt what I was knowing. And so that's why I don't think I trusted it, or I trusted it enough to share it with others, because I didn't know where it came from. So for that one for me, I've heard that from others that one can be difficult mm-hmm. to mm-hmm. acknowledge, because it's just like in an instance, yeah. like a knowing out of, you don't know where it came from, and it's all of a sudden mm-hmm. it's there. I've had a couple experiences like this where, so I listened to a particular podcast and it was information that I had never heard before. It was disturbing. It was interesting, but it was also disturbing. I was thinking about it a lot. I wondered, like, who is behind this? I've never done this before where I woke up out of a deep sleep with the answer to mm-hmm. what was behind this thing. Mm. I'm not going to say what it was. This was probably in 2020. And so many years later, that information has come to me through different sources to be the actual verify that information that came to me in my sleep was correct. And it was so strong. I knew it was the correct answer. And then over time, it's been verified. You know, I wish I could will that, like, knowing that strong way of knowing where it's like, I know it, like, it's so strong and it's so obvious, but sometimes it just comes when it wants to, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I want to say too, like, even for me with, you know, hearing and then seeing, of course, you know, again, that same sort of thing, like, how do I know that this is not me just making up what I'm seeing, like, visually? What really, really helped me understand the difference between what I see intuitively to what I make up in my mind is when I am receiving, like, visual information intuitively. I mean, if for those watching us, I hold my hand out sort of to the right side of my head, and I even look off into that direction and just sort of, you know, hold a soft focus. And then it's sort of like, that's where the imagery is coming in for me. When I then am sitting to imagine something, I have a very different experience of where I'm visually imagining and where that is in my kind of, let's say, awareness. You know, when I'm imagining, it's more here, it's a lot closer to my head, and I kind of lose myself in it. Whereas when I'm seeing things or picking them up visually, it's outside of me. I need a bit of distance, and it comes from a different direction. Mm-hmm. And I feel too with even sometimes with when we hear things, in some of my examples, there was this clearly much louder, stronger, and to me, I want to even say male voice in some of the louder times. It just had a different tone to it. So it didn't sound like myself. But then other times, I think very often our intuitive voice does sound like us. So then it blurs the lines as well. But again, I also like to encourage people, you know, does it come from a different direction? Is there a sense that this information comes from another part of our bodies? Because mm-hmm. I know when I think about the first time, it felt like a voice that was sitting behind, like, all the other noise. You know, it was deeper inside of me. It felt grounded. It had a quality to it, had a tone to it. And, like, it only spoke, like, one time and just said it that one time. There's this almost, like, calm authority within it, was like something I should listen to. So there are, like, nuances and qualities to the information in some way that we can start to pay attention to really get a handle on how do I uniquely perceive that, you know, is it directional or is there a quality or, yeah. And as you say, like, with the knowing, I think it's great once we kind of start to have a small sense of, yes, I do know things. If I allow that to be true, can I look back over my life and maybe just do a review of where actually, you know, maybe at the moment I didn't get some confirmation, but actually I can see a thread here of there's times where I had senses of things. Because that was a big thing that's come for me out of, you know, the recent course we did, the Energy Guide program, is, oh, no, I do know things. And if I could just let myself know something and that's it, not pick it apart, how does that feel? And, you know, there's a really different experience, as you've said, even with synchronicities, when we really allow them, engage with them, follow them, it builds the ability. It helps us build trust. It helps us even, like, I want to say, amplify the volume, the clarity, and almost even the frequency, how often we will receive guidance. Like, we can make it it's not just something that will come in out of the blue, but it's something we actually can work with more and more. Mm-hmm.
Totally. I think that need to, there's two sides that I'm thinking about. So the need to justify it or rationalize it, that can cause us to doubt it and dismiss it. And then also on the flip side of it, of like being so attached to like it being true or correct, that can also be like, so being a little more neutral to like what we receive, I think is helpful in cultivating this ability, this skill that all of us, I think, can do in some way. And likely, I imagine, while there's certain ways that that come to us more naturally, I imagine that we can cultivate the other ways as well to intuit. Oh, and I will say that I've recognized that I have some telepathic abilities as well. And I dismissed this for a long time. And then eventually I've come to see that, no, that I'm specifically with my husband, I see it where something pops in my head, like I'm reading a book and then something pops into my head. Then he says it 2 seconds later. That's happened enough times where I don't doubt it. And they say, it's been said that that's where we're going in terms of our communication is the ability to sense telepathically that's how higher dimensional beings communicate. And so I think it was happening, even though I had no idea that it was happening. It was happening. But then as I recognize it, as I acknowledge it, then I think it happens more.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I can second that. I have the exact same experience with Ricky. And I will say in the last couple of years, it's been more. And, you know, there have been times when really weirdly we've been in the car and I've thought something. And I think that there's somewhere in there I had the question and he just said the answer. And then I've turned to him and said, like, I didn't actually ask that question. That was the answer. And we've just like, But yeah, or same thing, like the thought just somewhere drops in out of nowhere and then he says it or vice versa. And I'm just like, no, okay, this is real, you know, and it does happen. And as you said, we're moving towards that more and more. And for anyone who might hear that and be like, that's total BS, I want you to Google the Institute of Noetic Sciences, IONS, who does a whole lot of research, very validated research on consciousness, excuse me, telepathy, all of our intuitive abilities. There's so much science they're dedicated to building more and more evidence of these abilities and how we can develop them. And there's some fascinating stuff that we can do with our minds, with our consciousness, with our awareness. And that really is something that we are moving towards, having a greater ability in each and every one of us to be able to harness and develop. And so on that, I want to say too that, like you mentioned, I think what inhibits us trusting sometimes is our attachment to what we want to happen. And for me, I know that's been, you know, how I want things to turn out or what I thought I needed or wanted. There's also the challenge too that what we might be intuitively receiving is exactly that. Like in that case of, you know, my first love, it's like, well, I don't want to give up this feeling, you know, that I don't want to be heartbroken. So there's a challenge with that. So we might back and forth on it for some time. And, you know, eventually that voice can get louder and you're like, well, I can't ignore this anymore. But those things, doubts and fears, can inhibit us from really following it. And I wanted to say that in terms of like developing it, I feel like the first thing is if we accept, even if in this moment we feel like we can't find any proof that we are intuitive, accept that you are. Let yourself open that door. That's step one. You're now saying, okay, I'm willing to see where I am. I think then what's really important too is believe to see, because we're taught through science, we have to see it to believe it, and that things you can't see aren't real. And what we're talking about right now is not something you can see. And if you do go to ION's website, none of that stuff you can see, but science is finding ways to measure it. So I think for me, especially as I learned to do and read the Akashic Records, that I had to open myself to believe this was true. And by allowing myself that belief, I then got the evidence. But if I tell myself I don't believe this, I'm looking for proof of it doesn't work, right? So throw yourself a bone and say, I've got to believe to see, and then, you know, practice, because that is the door that opens it. It's a paradox, I guess. You know, you've got to believe to see, but one that I feel like, and I had a moral challenge with that of like, you know, but you're lying to yourself. Like, is that true? You know, like you're just pretending that you believe, but no, I'll tell you the proof is open that door and then practice and work with it. And you are going to see an experience, and then it becomes your experience. So therefore you can step through that door of like, okay, now I get it. You know, you're not going to get it necessarily in big doses or in a clear, confident way until you believe that it's possible. And then you really open a door to many things when you do that. And then play with it like you did, you know, like follow those signs. You never know where it's going to lead you. And you shared an example, I think it was in something else that we're involved in, but, you know, like turning left instead of turning right, like what that can lead you to. But especially your great example of this, going to this retreat, like we don't know why we're being guided to things. And if we say no, we're never going to know what people we might have met, conversations we would have had, things we were going to learn that can change the trajectory of our life. Like there's information there for us always. So I think that's a really great way to play with it. And it doesn't have to be big things. It can be simply, should I go left? Should I go right? And see what happens. And I'll just say one more thing. I have also struggled with that because my mind is like, oh, but is that the right decision? You know, and then I've taken what I felt like was the, you know, turn right. And then my mind's like, well, where's this magical thing that's meant to happen when you turn right? So, you know, it's hard because the mind wants its proof all the time. And this is a game of just really learning to play with the following and allowing, and maybe you're going to get some confirmation sometimes and maybe you're not. Especially in those cases where maybe you do listen and it's like, don't do X, Y, and Z, you may never ever understand or find out why or what that, you know, potentially could have led you to. So you've just got to learn to trust it in that way. But you can play with it in those small ways to build a sense of I follow, I see why, I follow, I see why, and just really, you know, that's what I feel like are ways we can play with it. What else would you add to that?
Yeah, I was just going to bring the mind into this, and then you said the mind. Mm. So what has happened for me a lot of times is where I will receive some, I call it inspiration as well. It's like this rush of an idea of something to do or direction to go in my life. And my mind will oftentimes come in and tell me why I shouldn't do that. Why I can't do that. Maybe like, I don't have the resources and it's not going to work out. And then I've learned to start recognizing that voice, that limiting voice that's telling me why I can't, and then allow it to soften and like feel into that intuition, that inspiration. And I've come to see where my mind has stopped me from following my intuition. And also I have the ability to go beyond the limitations of my mind through this intuition and playing around with where I'm stopping myself from doing something else that might change the trajectory of my life. Like, because really like our life can change through following our intuition, and it might seem like something inconsequential, but like you can meet the, you know, say you're not in a relationship and you go left instead of right. You could meet the person that she's going to change your life. You're going to get married or whatever role that person has for you. Or you write a message to someone on Instagram and then you start a podcast, and it's not just one thing that happens because you follow that intuition. It's your limitations change, your patterns change of your routine. And that has this ripple effect in all areas of your life. And it's just like doing one thing different, listening to that thing that's telling you to to do something slightly different than what your default is. Like, I've seen that happen so many times. My life changes by listening to that voice. And you know, I love listening to the voice now because I've seen what it can do. And that's not to say that I don't to take action after having those positive experiences that come from, you know, either hearing, feeling, sensing, and actually not allowing my mind to stop me, which I think that was what was happening for much of my life until it got louder, right? And I think in our conversation with Vanessa on the podcast, she said that, yes, people are developing their intuition at a much greater rate right now, because I think she used like the analogy of the rakes. It's like the slapstick, where it's like you step on the rake and then you don't, you know, you come over here and then a rake pops up and hits you in the face. It's like, you can't ignore your intuition as much as maybe, you know, we used to be able to ignore it and just dismiss it as not important or not there. It's going to get our attention some way. And if so, we don't listen to the subtle voice, it's going to yell at us. And sometimes that, you know, serious life events, right? That's like the message coming in a different way, where it's like, we need a big wake up call to get back on track in our life and what we're here to do. Like, that's what our soul, our higher self is trying to guide us, right?
A couple of things that I'll say to that is, too. First one is that, you know, we've kind of said this, but just to reiterate that sometimes when we follow that intuitive nudge, it may mean we have to go through something challenging or difficult or hard, right? So it's not always like, follow your intuition, here's your cake, you know? Yeah. The cake might be on the other side of like, I have to make a really hard choice that, you know, at a mental level, at a human level, an emotional level, it's the worst case scenario for me, or, you know, I have this battle going on about, or, you know, I pull it apart with the mind. So, you know, it's not always this easy path, but there is something, there's a rich value in it, you know, if we are willing to listen and follow. Fear, you know, I know for me has played a big part in that. And it's that exactly the what's going to happen and the unknown of potentially what these things are guiding us to. Or even for me, when I think about sometimes like these intuitive knowings of things I want to do or put out or say, and the human self is like, oh my God, you know, like, that's scary. So we might come up against our fear in following our intuition. And I also want to say too that if we have, you know, had a lot of trauma, it can be hard for us to maybe trust sensations that we feel physically. You may very well, though, at the same time, develop actually heightened intuition, because a lot of people that go through a lot of trauma when they're young, sometimes they have to dissociate from the body and leave, and can have more heightened intuitive abilities because you've tuned yourself to be reading the room, reading people, sensing things. So it may be that you just need to understand that from that perspective, that you may be highly intuitive and sensitive and empathic, and then do what you need to do to feel more safe in your own physical body, do that healing work. To then maybe ground that a little bit more to make it work for you in a way that feels like it's helping to guide your life and not just be this sort of external awareness of your outside world. So,
yeah, I like that you brought up empathy and empathic people. And I think I fit in that category as far as being empathic. And with that, I've recognized around my own work that I didn't have boundaries. I had no sense of boundaries. And so I was taking on the energy of people around me because I was not aware of energy. And so I wasn't aware that what I was sensing was not mine. As I've developed my own intuition, I can differentiate better than I could before what is me and what is not me. I want to say, from what I've observed, is those that are empathic might have had more trauma, right? If we haven't had good boundaries. So we may have been in situations where we experienced more trauma. It takes work to then develop that sense of structure, I would say, that because we are more highly sensitive, to fine tune it. And, you know, it can be done. We can work with it. it can be seen as a gift rather than it, I think it probably feels like maybe like a curse when we don't know how to really use it. It really is our superpower once we get there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think clairsentience is also described as, you know, being able to take on the emotional energy of others, you know, and in that as well, receive information, like psychic information about people. And I think it's just that really heightened and attuned ability to be sensing exactly that external environment and reading the energy. So exactly doing what you may need to do to feel safe with that, because it is, as you said, like a superpower when you're able to work with it in a way that can really help you. Yeah. Anything that you've done then for yourself as an empath to help you work with it more as a superpower? Obviously you listen and you follow and you trust, but is there anything else you would add to that as a way that's helped you?
Well, I think I really learned about boundaries through my marriage, through my own healing work. I learned that I was merging with my husband and I was taking on his emotions and learning to differentiate what is mine, what is not mine with him. That has been a big, I was not aware of boundaries at all. And then so I came into a relationship with no awareness of boundaries. And so his stuff, I just took it on and internalized it like as my own. And that's what I think I learned through my, you know, my relationship with my parents. Working through that, I think it, through our relationships, it can be a powerful lesson. Or it was this, you know, he was doing his own personal work and we kind of had to go through this like untangling where we had both, there was like codependency there and we each had to learn to be responsible for our own emotions. For me to recognize where I was taking responsibility for his emotions and say, nope, this is yours. I think that work, it has trickled out into other areas of my life and with other people and other relationships as well. So doing it in this like core relationship, it has changed my boundaries and my sensing with other people as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Amazing. Is there anything else that you want to say around intuition, discernment?
We didn't really touch up, like, I mean, we didn't even really speak to discernment, but maybe that's a topic for another conversation. I think I enjoyed where we went with this conversation, and I'm sure intuition will be woven through all our other conversations as well, because it is somewhat a foundational piece of what we awaken to, that we have these abilities, that we are operating on a more energetic level. I think this is a good introduction to speaking to it directly. And yeah, it's changed my life. So hopefully those listening, we'd love to hear your experiences with intuition if you want to share them with us, whether you're on social media or YouTube or the podcast. Leave us a message or a comment, and we'd love to hear anything that's come up for you during this conversation. Otherwise, anything else you want to say, Kate?
No, that's it. I wanted to say exactly what you said. So you nailed it.
Perfect. I have telepathy.
Yeah, exactly. I plan to send that over for you.
All right. Thank you. Received.
Yeah. All right. Well, thank you everyone for listening. We'll join you in the next episode.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode. If you haven't already, please do subscribe to your favorite podcast platform or to our YouTube channel so that you can be notified when new episodes are released. Be sure to head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, for the resources mentioned in this episode. Here, you can also leave your questions, comments, or feedback so we can create more episodes that you love. And if you'd like to be a guest to share your own awakening journey with our listeners, or you have a business or offering that supports others going through their awakenings, head to our website, theawakeningconversations.com, and click on Be a Guest, and we'll be in touch. Until next time, take care.